Carolyn, thank you very much for doing this. How are you today?
Oh, flattery will get you everywhere. Thanks for having me on. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Did you get out of your small cubicle of a room that normally functions as a bathroom but is now suddenly your interview studio?
I did. I'm outside. This fresh air is nice.
What is your role going to be in this qualifying tournament? I saw the video, but it didn't tell me everything that you're going to be doing. Obviously, we've seen you on the desk before. I know you're going to be part of the broadcast based on what I saw online, but what is your role specifically?
Yeah, well, kind of like everyone, regardless of what industry or what job you're in, everyone's roles have switched up a little bit since COVID hit. So the same goes for mine. I'm doing rinkside interviews along with Kyle Bukauskas, you know, from Hockey Night, Christine Simpson and Sean McKenzie for the East. But there's four of us because we have to alternate days because you can't have more than one person, one of those reporters in the building at a time. And you do all the games on that day. And it's not really rinkside because you're on the 300 level and you're interviewing the players, whether it's their arrival interview or intermission interviews or after the game, you're interviewing them through a headset and through a camera on their end. So I'm interviewing. That's the short story. But, yeah, it's a lot different than it normally is for obvious reasons.
Obviously. And yet, is there some sort of sense of comfort professionally that you're back talking hockey and you're back interviewing players, even though it's in a different style than you would have done in the past?
Yeah, again, I think a lot of people can relate to this, but yesterday was really my first day back at work. And I had leading up, like even the days and the night before, I didn't sleep that well. I kind of had the first day of school jitters because you're always nervous when you're returning to something after a 4-month layoff, but especially when you add the layer of COVID to it. So yesterday being at Scotiabank Arena and just seeing the hockey, even though you could feel something was missing and what was missing was the fans, it was definitely a comfort. And that's something that I think, and we've talked about this before during these last few months, is I think we all realize how much we rely on sports. And I think that's a good thing to get us through the tough times. And it's a commonality that we share and that we can all get behind and cheer for the same team or the same sport. So it's been kind of nice even just on TV. I know MLB is a bit of a mess right now, but it's just been nice. Even watching basketball last night, anything that feels normal right now, I'll take it. And I hope I don't take it for granted when everything does return to normal one day.
Like you said, flattery will get you everywhere. Calling MLB just a bit of a mess, that is flattery given what is going on right now with that sport, Carolyn. It is crazy. It really is. And it does actually juxtapose with the sport you're going to be covering and we're going to be talking about a lot here on this show. It really does give you further confidence in the NHL's plan and ability to carry this out.
Well, and I think what's nice, too, is you can even look at the NBA and how their bubble's been working out and how they're a couple weeks ahead of the NHL. So what you're right. I was flattering the MLB by saying it's just a little bit of a mess. But it's you look at it and you think, well, what did you expect to happen? I still don't understand when people or organizations think they're smarter or can outsmart a virus like COVID, because it's COVID that's in charge. So you just have to try and put in the right protocols in place in order to safely go about our lives, which it's still early days, but for the NHL especially, and it was similar to the NBA, just getting to the bubble seemed to be, in their minds, the most difficult part of the process. So now that they're here, hopefully, knock on substitute wood, everything will be good. And that's what, I even wanted to say a bad word there. That's what makes me mad about the MLB or disappoints me, is that it's not just about the players. It's about the clubhouse staff or security. It's about anyone who's there or then comes in contact with any of these players or any of these employees. So it's just a reminder that the bubble is the way to go, because then you're not affecting the outside world.
Absolutely. Very well said. Carolyn Cameron joining us this morning, Sportsnet's own, right here on the Scott Rentoul Show. We've been having a couple of fun conversations this morning. Everybody is so excited about the smorgasbord of activity that will be unveiled beginning tomorrow morning for us here in the West, for you guys at high noon in the East. And one of our conversations is, hey, I know you're married to your team, but what other series has caught your eye from a personal point of view as opposed to a professional one? Because, hey, you have to be equally interested in all of the series. Which series is most attractive to you?
You know what? I'm going to do the most annoying thing people do in interviews, is not fully answer your question and not say a series, but a team. I'm really excited to see the Colorado Avalanche. Because if you think about what's different right now, other than the obvious with COVID and that, but the fact that it's going to be August 1st and they're playing hockey, is these are fresh bodies. And Colorado is already one of the most talented and top teams in the league, but all season long, they had injuries, and they never had their core healthy at the same time. So now you've got, we even saw Nathan MacKinnon with just the sweet moves in the opening exhibition game. You've got all those guys, and Gabe Landeskog and Cale Makar, Bowen Byram too. I'm excited to see Vancouver Giants own. I'm excited to see that he's up with the team. You've got just so much talent, proven talent and young talent that are all healthy at the same time. So I think the timing of these playoffs should benefit the Colorado Avalanche, and we can hopefully really see them at their best, where it's not just their top line that's perhaps the best in hockey. It's just right down the roster. So that's the team, you know what, East and West, that I'm really most excited to see. I did the Bruins Blue Jackets game last night, that final exhibition game in the East. Columbus actually looked really good, and I think they're going to give the Toronto Maple Leafs a lot of trouble. And, I mean, if you even just look at just how defensemen are changing in the league, and, I mean, look no further than the Vancouver Canucks and what you get in Quinn Hughes, and then what I mentioned in Colorado even with Cale Makar. But in Colorado, you've got, like, Seth Jones and Zach Werenski, and you just got really talented young defensemen who are talented offensively and defensively and are just really quick. And I think they could actually cause some real problems in Toronto for Toronto.
And to be fair to you, we can't have the Colorado series be one of your most attractive because we don't know what it's going to be. We're going to have to wait a little longer for them. But yes, they will be the apple of a lot of people's eyes. What about when it comes to the qualifying series? I'm going to give you four that we put on our poll question today. You tell me which of these is most attractive and then give me your reason. Flames, Jets, Oilers, Blackhawks, Leafs, Blue Jackets, or Rangers, Hurricanes?
Flames, Jets. Yeah, Flames, Jets by a long ways. This is actually the series that when we had to give our picks, I struggled with the most because, I mean, I've done a lot of Flames games in the regional intermissions all throughout the season. And I think they're a really good team. They're a talented team, and they've got a lot of grit. But especially under the current circumstances, with there being a four-month layoff and where goaltending can sometimes be a question mark, Connor Hellebuck already in exhibition play looked outstanding and really, like, his Vezina nomination, like, he should win the Vezina. That's just my personal opinion. So you look at what he's done to that team, how he helped kind of push them through early on in the season when they were adjusting, and this is probably putting it nicely too, to a new look blue line. He has just been, he's been stellar for them, and I think the series kind of rides with him. If he can play as well as he was in the regular season, I think it'll be the Jets series to win. But I really think it'll hopefully be a close series between the Flames and Jets.
Well, it's such a compelling test for Calgary and its high-end players because, as I said coming into this segment, you're going to get your chances. Like, Winnipeg will afford you chances. So Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, go down the list. They're going to have opportunities, but can you beat that guy? And it is the multi-million dollar question heading into this series as well. And it leads to another one, and you've mentioned a couple of teams that I've got in my top three. When it comes to the qualifying round, the teams under the most pressure, I've got Calgary at the top of the list because there's potential for trading franchise pieces. There's potential for changing head coaches. I've got Toronto at number two because of the possibility of changing players on that roster. I don't think anything's going to happen with management and head coach. Are those the two that are on the greatest spotlight for you?
Oh, definitely. I think the Toronto Maple Leafs are a big one. And even I know I'm repeating myself when I keep saying, considering the times and considering the current circumstances, COVID, but its effect on the cap, if the Leafs aren't able to get through the qualifying round and then hopefully do well in the playoffs, you just have to look at Kyle Dubas and think, how much longer can you try and win with this core that you've got? Because it's already been a few years. And you then have to think, do I trade away one of these pieces? I don't think it's going to be Matthews. Is it Tavares? Is it Nylander? Is it Marner? It's probably Nylander. Is Kapanen someone who, depending on how he performs these playoffs, you get rid of? Toronto, I think, is the big team where you could see a whole lot of change if something happens. Tampa Bay Lightning are almost similar, too, and that's what happened to them last season is they got swept and everyone thought, what the heck, they're the best team during the regular season. It looked like they'd be a slam dunk to perhaps even win the Stanley Cup final. So what happened? The thing with Tampa is I expect, and I think everyone does expect them to play really well. So I don't think that'll pose a threat, but I think that's what's fun is we always try and map out what's going to happen in the playoffs every single year. And the NHL compared to any other league, it's so wide open once you're in that anything can happen, but especially this year, and especially because the play-in rounds are best of five.
Well, what's interesting about Toronto and Calgary to me is this. Logic dictates, hey, if your stars don't perform, if you lose, we're going to have to make changes. But there's also a scenario where you go on a bit of a run, whether it's all the way to the finals or not, but let's say you win a couple of rounds and your stars play well. That makes those stars attractive to other teams. And if you've convinced yourself as a management group, we're going to have to make changes anyway, now you might be able to get a better return for one or two of those pieces that you're considering moving anyway.
And then you look at some other teams too, even like the Vancouver Canucks, where you're still expected to do well, but this is still early days for guys like Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson. This is just another great experience for a young group of guys like that. So as well as they do, you hope they do well, but there's still a little bit of time. And I think this more than anything is just a really good learning experience, which I know in sports and as fans, you don't really want to hear that, but I really think it is. And for the Canucks too, I think they'll do well against the Wild anyway. I have them winning that series. So yeah, you're right. I mean, that's also what's fun about the Stanley Cup playoffs is these big names kind of come out and shine. And that's even what I saw in the Columbus game last night. Like especially when you see them live in person, like guys like Zach Werenski or even Liam Foodie, who's only had two NHL games, you see them flying out there and you think, gee, I wonder who these playoffs is going to become a household name or really up their trade value as opposed to the latter.
Well, you mentioned the Canucks series, and I wanted to get your opinion on the compare and contrast between the markets of Toronto and Vancouver. I think there's a similarity in this sense. I think when the markets saw the matchups, they felt good about them and almost overconfident. And the closer we've gotten to these matchups, I think more people in both of those fan bases have said, okay, I still like my team and I still like our chances, but this isn't going to be as easy as I thought. Would you agree?
I completely agree. And I also think you have to think of just even casual fans. What other games in the NHL are they watching during the regular season? I mean, sure, in Vancouver, you'll be watching maybe some of the California teams. You'll watch Winnipeg. You'll watch Calgary. But for Vancouver Canucks fans, you have to kind of refamiliarize yourself with the Minnesota Wild. And early on in the season, no one was paying attention to them because they weren't doing well. And they really just went on that run late in the season, which even though it's recency bias, it's also easy to forget. And then for the Toronto Maple Leafs, too, I don't think fans have really paid much attention to the Columbus Blue Jackets and what their team is like. And as Canucks fans know, what a team under Torts is like. And John Tortorella, he's hard on his guys in the clubhouse. He's hard, if not harder, on them outwardly through the media. But he has teams that will never be outworked. And that's the really big threat in the playoffs, especially for a Maple Leafs team where their effort is sometimes put into question and that grit is lacking. So even though I do favor both the Leafs and the Canucks in those series, you're right. They're opponents. You can't undermine them. And the Minnesota Wild, I think, as mentioned, it's even more complicated because their success was towards the end of the year, and it wasn't a big sample size.
Carolyn, great stuff. How many games are you working over the course of the weekend?
Monday I've got three. So the All-Canadian matchup is game two of Montreal and Pittsburgh. It's kind of weird because usually we'd be assigned to a series, but you just do whatever games are on your day.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it goes. It's just a rotation. Even talking to Murph, who's in the – I guess you're kind of in this too. You're not in the bubble, but you're around the rink. And so that's the friend zone. That's what I'm calling it.
Yes.
you're in the friend zone. You're not quite where you want to be, but you're kind of there.
So, yeah, it's like for Murph, like he's in Edmonton and he'll want to do all the Canucks games, but just based on the regulations and when we can be in the building, he won't be able to do all the Canucks games. You might see Murph doing a Flames game or Ryan Leslie doing a Canucks game. So everyone be kind.
Absolutely. Enjoy the friend zone. Thank you very much for doing this. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Scott.